Well, let's turn in our Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Jesus Christ is answering a lawyer. You've seen the verse before. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 38. And, Master, which is the great commandment in the law, is the question that's asked in verse 36. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, you know, we're challenged by that commandment. And the reason I say we're challenged by that commandment, because of the word all. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. I know you love the Lord. I believe that. I mean, if I were to take a poll, pass out a piece of paper and say, okay, everybody, right down there, circle Y if you love him, circle N if you don't. Everybody's going to circle Y. You all love him, I know that. But he says here, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's a challenge, no matter what. And with all thy soul, that's a challenge. And with all thy mind, yet it is the commandment. He didn't say, I'm going to make a commandment. I want you to love me, and a suggestion that you try it with all your heart. He said, my commandment is all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first, yes, and the great commandment. What we want to talk about tonight then, if I know you already love him, what we want to talk about is evidence in your life. This is what we're talking about. Evidence in your life that you're keeping this commandment. Because honestly, I believe that your heart's desire is like mine. You love him, but you want that love to grow. You love him, but you know it's not all the time, but you'd like it to be. And so what we want to do is we want to see evidence in our lives that that love is there and that that love is growing. Because honestly, until the day we die, just like it is in our marriages, I believe that love grows. And what we want to do is see how it's growing in our lives and have some method or process by which we look at it and say, this thing is getting better. It's encompassing areas of my life that it needs to encompass. Or I'm involved in some things I need to get rid of to help it grow more. But before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Ask the Lord to help us to see the evidence that of the keeping of the first commandment in our lives. Blake, would you pray for us tonight? Amen. Amen. When you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, your love is going to be evident in certain things in your life. First of all, your love is going to be evident in your fellowship with God. Now, your fellowship involves the quality and the quantity of your time that you spend with him. In other words, we can have some real good quality time with the Lord for about 5 minutes in the morning, but that's not really all of your heart. We can have some quantity of time with him, but it may be constantly with distractions, so there's really not very much quality in it. And truly, our fellowship is an opportunity to have a quality and a quantity of time that we spend with the Lord. Now, obviously, you can read your Bible and you can enjoy fellowship with the Lord while you do it. Or you can read your Bible and really not be having much fellowship with the Lord while you're doing it. You ever done that before? Boy, I have. My mind's so... Once, yeah, exactly. Once in my life as well, you know. Just in your mind, you got a lot of stuff on your mind. You're reading it because you know you need to, but there's not really much happening in the way of fellowship with the Lord. Nevertheless, you're not going to really enjoy quality fellowship with the Lord if you're not praying. Okay, it's not an excuse not to do it, or not reading your Bible. So what you'll notice is that there becomes a quality of fellowship and a quantity of fellowship with the Lord in your time of prayer and in your Bible reading and in your worship of the Lord. Haven't you found yourself sometimes in your home, you just get excited about God and you just walk around and He's on your mind and maybe you're speaking silently to the Lord, maybe you're speaking out loud to the Lord, but you're just really, really enjoying Him and enjoying fellowship with Him. You know what happens? That bleeds over into all your life. What you notice is a conscious awareness of His presence in your life in everything you do. It's very easy for people to compartmentalize, and I'm going to do my morning devotions, then I'm going to go to work. And a lot of times at work, they're not conscious of the Lord's presence in their lives. He didn't leave you because He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you, but you're just not conscious of His presence there. Jacob left Esau because he didn't want to die, and he's on his way, and he stops overnight in Bethel, and he sets up a stone there and makes a pillow for his bed, and there he is, and then he gets a vision of the Lord, and he sees the angels ascending and descending on that ladder of the Lord there. And he wakes up from that and he says, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. And surely in us, the Lord is in us, and there are times we're just not aware of it. You don't even know it. I mean, maybe something, I don't need to describe the circumstances in your life where you suddenly find that you don't feel like the Lord is there. And that's because you're so overwhelmed by what else is going on. But you know something? As your love for the Lord God improves, as it grows, as it becomes more pervasive in your life, as it becomes more of all of you, you're conscious of His presence in your life through really all of the time. You know, you've heard me say it from time to time, and I'm going to say it again tonight. I don't like Facebook. Let me say it again. I don't like Facebook. And you know, we can go through myriad reasons why Facebook is no good. There are men who reconnected with high school flames and now they're no longer married to the wives they were married to for 30 years. They've gone back and they got married to somebody they remember when they were back in high school because that was where they got their first kiss. And they just like suddenly go crazy. All that stuff happens. People get connected there and all that. But I'll tell you what happens. I believe that Facebook in your home is one of the greatest deterrents to your love of the Lord God. Because what happens is you start loving the network of people. And you got to just, I can't wait to see who posted this and what comment they made about that and the picture of this and the trip they're taking over there. And you know, what that does is it takes away from your ability to concentrate on your love of the Lord God. And it increases your love for people. Now, you know, I know that afterwards you'll come up to me and say, I do that because that's the way I connect with my grandkids. Or I do that because that's the way I connect with my children. Or that if it wasn't for that, you know, we're on the mission field, we wouldn't be able to. And you know something? That's not 100%. Help me here. There's email. There's Skype. There are a number of things that are very personal between you and the individual you're trying to contact that have nothing to do with a network of friends that don't need to know about that little episode going on in your life. And what happens is, I believe that it has become a distraction. It has humanized our experience and taken away from our fellowship with the Lord. I believe that. And what happens is we get more interested in people, we get more interested in the internet, we get more interested in television, we get more interested in the news, we get more interested in other things. You know what Paul said? He analyzed his life, Paul did, and I know he was talking about his being a Pharisee and all that, but he analyzed his life in Philippians chapter 3 and he said, I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And finish that by saying, that I may know Him. And so there are things, honestly, that we have to separate ourselves from in order to be able to enjoy better fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because they become a distraction in that fellowship. And Paul said, anything that is going to affect my knowledge of the Lord, I'm going to lose it, and I'm going to count that loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And he just gave it up. You know what I found in fellowship in our lives? You know what you're going to, what you realize? You're not lonely. You know there are a lot of people that get into trouble with sin because they're lonely. And he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I think what happens is, once you start really falling in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, that loneliness leaves. Because you've got a constant companion. Now, Irene's over here and she's nodding her head. Listen, how long were you and Joe married? 37 years. And then her mate went on to be with the Lord. And that's hard. That's hard. And others here, you've experienced the same thing. But let me tell you something. You're not alone. You're with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that fellowship is sweet. Very sweet. You know what happens a lot of times in this world and in our lives? We get consumed with thoughts about ourselves. And we take those to the Lord. Oh Lord, I'm concerned with myself. I'm concerned with my concerns. I'm concerned with my children. I'm concerned with my occupation. Oh Lord, help me to be concerned with my concerns. And we just spread that whole cloth up there in front of him. And really, we're not seeing the Lord. We're seeing our occupations and our concerns and our troubles and our trials and all our mess and our everything. Our creditors and our enemies and our friends and our messes and our past. And where's God? All those things really are our human nature. And what, you know what we need is, we need a separation. Not to be consumed with those things, but to be consumed with thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not an artist, and I don't think I'm a person who really appreciates art. But there are people who, when you go to a museum, they see this painting, you know, and they're like, oh, and they talk about the light and the strokes and the content and the perspective and the relative relationship of everything in the painting to everything else in the painting, whatever that's called, and just the whole scene, you know, and the feeling that emanates from it and all that. You know, that's not a person that just came up and gave it a casual glance and said, well, that's pretty, and then walked on. That's a person who is studying, right, that art and everything that was about that painting. And that's what we need to do to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is sit there and behold our Savior, the lily of the valley, and behold His beauty and His wonder and His grace and His loving kindness and His, you know, the whole aspect of it. But we don't. We're like, oh God, I failed you again. Blah, 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 blah. And He's like, man, if you just get a good look at me, you wouldn't worry about that stuff anymore. You know, what really happens in our fellowship with the Lord is, we get an utter abhorrence of sin. We don't magnify sin. We just go by like, I don't want to do that. You know, when your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ is really good, you don't separate yourself from sin because you know, bless God, that's wrong and He's going to punish you if you do that. You just love Him so much, you don't want to introduce that into your relationship. You abhor it, and you're like, I don't want anything to do with that. You know what happens? It's not that your have-to rules, it's your want-to rules. And you get to a place where you don't want to do it anymore. In your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, when there is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, there's a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. In His presence. Love, joy, peace. Jesus Christ said to His disciples in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. He says to him again in John, 20? He said, let not your heart be troubled. My peace I give you, my peace I leave you. Let me tell you something. When you have love, you have joy, and you have peace, plus the six other things that manifest the fruit of the Spirit, guess what? The trouble seems to diminish. It really seems to diminish. So, first of all, when you love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, your love is going to be evident in your fellowship. But that's not all. Your love is also going to be evident in your friendship. Your fellowship is something that's very personal between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't even really involve your spouse. It's very private in your devotion. Your friendship is something that becomes evident to other people. It doesn't deal so much with the quality and quantity of your time that you spend with Him. It really deals more with the quality and quantity of your things that you do for Him. Your friendship. I mean, when you got a friend, you like to do things for them and with them. In other words, you're unashamed to talk about Him and unashamed to stand up for Him. Have you ever found yourself where you were, where you really wanted to say something to somebody else about something was going on, but you're kind of like, ooh, if I do that, they may have something, they may say something bad about me. You ever done that before? Yeah, sure. And what that is it's an indication of the fact that our friendship is not quite as strong as it could be. You know, they talk about the camaraderie that is built in soldiers through their basic training and then in their early events in warfare, and then how one would willingly not even think about it, not even count the cost of his own life, but stand in the way of a bullet for the sake of another soldier. You know what that is? It becomes instinctive. It becomes automatic. It becomes a bond. And we don't have that close bond with the Lord where we're willing to take a bullet for Him. But when you love Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind, you're willing and unashamed to talk about Him and to stand up for Him. You get to the point where you're not concerned what other people have to say about you. You know, honestly, truly, our reputation becomes more of a concern to us sometimes than our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what other people are saying about us concerns us a whole lot more than what God thinks about us. And the funny thing about it is, here we are looking at a few people in the sanctuary tonight. We're all together. And let's say that when we got here, you know, Blake was friendly to me and Christian friendly to me and Jeremy's coming over. Then we're showing pictures. We're all yucking it up. Bobby comes in. He kind of gives me a scowl and walks by. And I'm like, I wonder what's eating on him. You know what? Our tendency is to worry more about whatever you're thinking about me than all this wonderful stuff we've enjoyed here. That's our nature. All right? And to be overly concerned about that. The truth of the matter is, it doesn't make any difference what he's thinking. Amen. What's God thinking? That's really the preeminent concern. You know, if I keep my mind and you keep your mind, love Him with all your mind, on the Lord and the friendship we have with Him, we'll be able to work out whatever this difficulty is. This doesn't have to become the preeminent concern. You know what He's going to want anyway if there is a problem between us? He's going to want somebody who's close to the Lord so it works out right, not the way we wanted it to work out. So really, we really get way concerned about that kind of stuff. Listen, when we love the Lord, we shouldn't be so concerned about trying to impress other people. Because why? We're doing what we do for His pleasure, not for us. Jesus Christ, I mean, He didn't get along well with His mother and His brothers sometime. He didn't get along well with the Pharisees at all. You know, it was kind of sketchy there. And you know what He said to them? He said, he didn't say, I don't worry about it. He said this, I do always those things that please Him, talking about His Father. That was His preeminent concern. That's what you do in a good friendship. That's what you do in a good friendship with the Lord. Oh, you know, people talk about how much to give and whether we should give. You know, that's not hard whenever you've got a real good friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because you're trying to put as much into that relationship as you possibly can, and the issues about how much go away. You're more concerned about how much should I retain. I would want Him to have it all because He's my friend. I mean, is that not what the widow did? That's my friend right there. The Lord is my friend. She put in her whole living. She wasn't worried about how much she should give. She was not even concerned about how much she should keep back. She loved Him. You know what happens in your friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ? We become aware of our utter unworthiness to call Him friend. But we don't let that utter unworthiness overwhelm us where we always come in, I don't know why you want to be my friend because I've been so horrible to you. We're not like that. You know what happens? There's this balance of an utter unworthiness to be his friend and an overwhelming gratitude for his acceptance. Because he says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, we are accepted in the Beloved. And we're not worthy of it, but we just relish in it. Aren't you glad God loves you? I mean, we ought to just soak that up like a sponge. A dry sponge on a wet day. We ought to just bask in that. Thank you for loving me. I am so grateful for your love. I am so grateful to be accepted in the Beloved. I'm so happy and content to be your friend. And I want to be the best friend that I possibly can. Don't you want to be like that? That's what happens when you, that's some of the evidence of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You truly want to be the best friend you can possibly be for somebody who has loved you so much. Now, you know, we're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And what are you going to be judged for? You're going to be judged for those things that are done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. In Colossians chapter 3, he said, and he that doeth for the wrong shall be, whatever it is, judged for the wrong, and there's no respect of persons. And you know what happens when you really love him? Well, really, what happens is you become careful to do those things that you know are good, because that's what you want to do. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You say, I don't want any of that. Lord, if this is good and it's what you want me to do, that's what I'd like to do. That's what you do for your friends. So what happens is there's evidence of keeping the first commandment when you love the Lord with all your soul and all your heart and all your soul and all your mind in your fellowship and in your friendship and one more, and in your followership. That's a word. I looked it up. Your followership. And even if you didn't believe me, you know what I'm talking about. Your followership. And whereas your fellowship deals with the quality and quantity of the time that you spend with him, and your friendship has to do with the quality and quantity of the things you do for him, your followership has to do with the quality and quantity of your willingness and capacity to follow him. It begins with obedience. What does he want you to do? He says, well, after you get saved, I want you to be baptized. You say, sign me up. Because that's what you want me to do. And it goes on for all of those other things as the Bible reveals to you, as preaching reveals to you those things that you're supposed to. You say, oh, if that's what I'm supposed to do as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to do that. Many of the things that I'm doing now, many of the things that you're doing now, somebody told you that's what you're supposed to do. It's not necessarily that you wanted to. You started to. You go, you know what, this isn't so bad, and I'm going to keep on doing it. Why? Because this is what the Lord wants me to do. And you know, you get into the area then of faith. And basically, early on in your love of the Lord Jesus Christ, your faith is more like this. I'm not going to do it because I'm not sure it's what he wants me to do. You know, after your faith grows, you get a little bit more certain about his direction in your life. But at first, it's like, I'm not exactly sure of his direction, but I'm sure that he doesn't want me to go this way, so I'm not going this way in faith. That's good. In your followership, you have patience to wait on God. That's hard to do. Have you ever watched football? Oh, there's some football fans in here. Come on now. All right. One of the things, what happens when a running back gets loose in the secondary? He's supposed to do something. He's about to, Glenn said, phew. All buns and go to the end zone. Actually, if he has some blockers out in front of him, he's supposed to wait on his blockers. Now, these guys are so fast today. But you'll see that a lot of times. A guy will be running like that and break free in the secondary, and there'll be this guy coming over like that, and he'll kind of slow down a little bit, and then the next thing you see this guy come running up beside, takes that guy out, and he scores a touchdown. All right, wait on the blockers. That can be hard to do because you're like, man, if I do this, this guy might, you know, blah, blah, blah. Same way with God. You see this vision, you say, man, I got to make it from here to the back door. The Lord said, woo, slow down. That can be hard to do. But when you are loving the Lord, and it's affecting and evident in your followership, you're glad to wait on God. There's a willingness, listen, there's a willingness to go where He wants you to go and to do everything that you need to do to be prepared to stay where He sends you to go once He gets you there. You know what's wrong with a lot of young missionaries these days that are calling? They got a call sitting in a pew and the next day they're on deputation. And what they're not evidencing is a willingness to do everything they need to do to prepare themselves patiently for that call so that when they actually get where they're going, they can stay. And followership says, this is what I want you to do, but now what I'm telling you to do is prepare. And that's going to take you 5 more years. And they're like, well, gosh, if I have to wait 5 more years, just think of all the souls over there in that remote place that won't get saved. Do you not think God knows about that? Of course He does. So followership says, I'm not going to run out ahead of God just because He gave me a green light to go raise $4,000 from churches around the country, go splash on the shores of that country. But now to sit quietly under my pastor, under the Bible, in the preparations of God, in the things I need to do to be prepared so that when I get there I can stay. Trust. God can be hard to trust sometimes because difficult things come your way and you're like, now where's God now? Do you ever have a difficult episode in your life and you're like, huh, I thought you were carrying for me? You know something, you get to a place in followership that you recognize even in the difficult storms, God is there. Jesus Christ was on that boat when it was about to capsize. Those guys were rowing, they were scared, they ran back to Jesus. Carest thou not that we perish? Yeah, He cared about that. You're not going to perish. Why? I'm on board with you. And followership says, okay, if it's okay with him, it's okay with me. How did Joseph endure all that slavery and those years in prison? You just have to know God's with you. And it's okay. It may not look like the next guy's life, but he's not following the Lord in the same path that you're following the Lord. Yours involves health problems. His involves some other kinds of problems. You get to a place, I'll tell you what happens, you get to a place in your life where you begin to disconnect from the world, and that disconnection gets broader and broader and broader, where whatever the world is doing is so contrary to what you're doing, and what you're doing is so contrary to what the world is doing, and you could care less because you love the Lord and He has led you as your Father in separation from those things. I do understand. I don't believe for a minute when some person goes, I just love Jesus so much, in church on Saturday night, and then after church on Saturday night, they're in the dance hall drinking beer and dancing with their, two-stepping with their boyfriend in cowboy boots and blue jeans. That is not loving God. You know what that is? That's loving the feeling I get when I say I love God, and expressing it in more worldly and fleshly behavior after I've done that. What happens in that followership with God is it just takes you completely away and in a completely contrary direction to the rest of the world. In your followership, there is a supreme desire to know God's will and to do His will. Not when you feel like it, but at all times. And you're pleased to do it. And then there is a recognition of those things in your life that interfere with His will and a sudden desire to break them off. You know, I told you when we went down to Guatemala, I'm just going to repeat this for a few more times until you get tired of hearing it, then I can go on to another illustration. You know, I'll only use one until it's like a broken record. But at least you know that one. No, we got down there to Guatemala, and I felt so relaxed in doing the will of God and wanted to come back here with that same type of attitude because stress, hey, all of us with gray hair, stress is a real problem. You can't manage it the same way when you're older as you did when you were younger. When you're younger, Will, you can bounce back and recover from this stuff. When you get older, the recovery is gone. That's what's gone. You just can't handle it. And so Pastor Sal had been here in April, and he preached Tear Up the List. You may not have heard that, but I did. So June, you know, we go down there, and I get back here in June after that trip, and I said, you know what, I'm going to do that. I'm going to tear up that list. And you know what happened? That list, my list of things to do, was interfering with God's list of things to do. We were praying. Tony and Randy and I are praying in there in the office. And Randy started praying things like this: Lord, help us to check off the things on your list, not on our list. That's not because he's, you know, he's trying to preach to his pastor while we're praying. The Lord was identifying for us, this is getting in the way of my will. Doesn't mean that we neglect the things that need to be done. It means that we don't put those up before the Lord. You know what's wrong with task-oriented people as it concerns the will of God? Lord, as soon as I finish everything on my list, I'll get to yours. And the Lord says, no, let's do everything on my list. And while we're doing everything on my list, I'll make sure that the things that need to be done on your list get done. Quit worrying about them. That interferes with God's will. We've got all these little devices now so we don't forget anything that we need to do. Somehow or another, God gets pushed out of that whole thing. God doesn't send push notifications to your cell phone and doesn't send you emails. He leads you, and if you're not in fellowship with Him, and if He's not your best friend, you won't be able to have followership. Follower, I sound like Jan Johnson. You won't be able to have followership with Him. Followership with Him. We talk about fellowship, friendship, and followership. And there are a lot of people who want to do followership with Jesus, and they're not having a good friendship with Him, and they're not in fellowship with Him. Forget that nonsense. It all starts with good fellowship in love, branches out into friendship, and affects your ability to follow, your followership, in that order. And those are evidence of keeping the first commandment in your life. Amen? Amen. Father, we're thankful tonight for an opportunity to examine the Bible. I pray, I don't know. I know in my life the areas that you've been dealing with me on these things, and I'm not sure where you're dealing with the folks that are here tonight in these things, but I pray wherever it is, that little sore spot that you're really wanting to work on the most right now, I pray that'll become preeminent and their minds put that thing aside and love you with all of their heart, all of their soul, and all their mind. Father, I pray that you'll do that for me as well. And I ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.